Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to National Treasures,
the podcast where we take you, the listener, on a day out via your ears.
That's correct. We're inviting you to join us at castles, stately homes, museums, all over the place, for what basically boils down as a series of unofficial audio tours narrated by two idiots.
Yeah, and it's perfect for right now because nobody can go outside. In today's episode, we're going to be going to Leicester, to the Richard III Museum.
Yes, and as ever, we make asses of ourselves with the facts. And we also meet a man who describes in detail how he'd mutilate Will.
We did. I liked him more than other people who threatened violence upon me. The great thing about this episode is that it had a little bit of something for everyone. There was Tudor history for Laura.
And digging for William.
I love digging a big time. I've got a trowel with a holster. Now, before we get into it, we thought it'd be best to give you a quick historical primer. So buckle in and get ready.
Yes, because this period of history is insane. You start, Will.
Okay. The Richard III Museum was opened to celebrate the discovery of Richard III's remains in a car park in Leicester in 2012.
And they'd been missing since Richard was killed at the Battle of Bosworth in 1485.
The Battle of Bosworth was the final battle in the Wars of the Roses, which were a series of civil wars that took place between 1455 and 1485 between the houses of York and Lancaster. Both of the houses could claim heirs to the throne through King Edward III, but the Yorks hadn't, until King Henry VI started to mess things up.
So it's 1453. Henry VI is king, but the people are not happy. His wife, Queen Margaret of Anjou, they think she's got too much power, and there are a lot of questions floating around about Henry VI's sanity. So Richard of York, this is Richard III's dad, he's declared Lord Protector and takes over for a bit.
By 1455, Henry VI is feeling better. He regains power and is ready for the Battle of St. Albans, which marks the start of the Wars of the Roses.
Mm. And after a lot of fighting, the Yorkists are beaten in 1459, but not for long.
Not for long at all. 1 year, in fact. Because, yeah, just 1 year, because they regroup in 1460 and beat the Lancastrians. But they do not take the throne. Instead, they agree to take the throne after Henry VI dies, which disinherits Henry's son, Edward.
But Margaret of Anjou is not happy with this, and she pokes Henry, her husband, in the side and says, "You've got to go back to war, mate. We're not having this."
Which is a terrible idea, because they get beaten by Edward. Not their son, Edward, a different Edward. This Edward, who is the son of Richard of York.
Oh, you can see why kids give up with this at school. Why have they all got the same name?
Because there were only four names until 1920.
Right, okay, so a different Edward fights them, then what happens?
So he wins and is declared King Edward IV.
Yes. Now, Edward IV is now in power, the Yorkists are in power, and things settle down for a while. Behind the scenes, you've got the Earl of Warwick, also known as the Kingmaker, pulling strings, getting the kingdom back in shape and sorting out the mess that Henry VI left behind.
But Edward IV is actually a little bit annoyed by the Earl of Warwick running the show, and by 1469, even those two are fighting. It gets so bad that at one point, the Earl of Warwick even has Edward IV as his prisoner.
But by 1470, Edward IV is not a prisoner anymore. He's taken back control of the country, and Warwick is legging it to France. You thought Brexit was complicated.
That is, until Warwick and Margaret of Anjou team up. Now remember, they were enemies until about 5 minutes ago. Anyway, they collude and manage to pop Henry VI back on the throne.
And that lasts all of about 5 minutes, because in 1471, Edward IV defeats Warwick. He dies in the battle, and we're back with Edward IV on the throne. This time, he just kills Henry VI. He is done with his to-in and fro-ing. Henry VI dead. End of discussion.
And this is where Richard III enters. He is Edward IV's brother. Now, at the moment, he is not King Richard. He's just Richard.
Except that Edward IV dies, and his heir, Edward V, is too young to take the throne, so Richard becomes Lord Protector.
And that is until Edward V and his brother sort of disappear, and Richard becomes king. King Richard III, to be precise.
How convenient. Now, this disappearance alienates a fair few Yorkists who turn to Henry Tudor and sort of suggest maybe you might like to be king, because he could claim a right to the throne on his mother's side.
So, up he gets, up on his horse, he rides to Bosworth, pops Richard in a car park, married Edward IV's daughter Elizabeth, and becomes King Henry VII. Bam, there's your potted history. Delicious.
But Starkey is shitting himself.
I'll be honest, Laura, I can literally hear people typing angry tweets to us already.
Well, quick, let's go back in time then to our visit to the Richard III Museum and have a lovely day. Welcome to the National Treasures Podcast.
Hello, good morning, or indeed afternoon. If it's afternoon for you now.
Whenever you're listening, could be the middle of the night. I'm Laura Lex. I'm here with my co-host and best friend, Will Duggan.
That's me, Will Duggan, hello.
How are you doing, Will Duggan?
I'm really good. How are you, Laura? Do you want some tea?
Yes, please. A little... Oh, you just poured it straight into the saucer. Where are we today, Will Duggan?
Today, we are at the King Richard III Visitor Centre in Leicester.
Was there a fourth? Has there been a Richard since this?
I don't think so, because he didn't have a good legacy, did he?
No.
And it's kind of like, you know, George V, his name was Albert, wasn't it, really? George V? George VI? George VI, his name was Albert. But they all called him George because it's like Albert had German connotations and World War II, yada, yada, yada. So I don't think, they sort of retire. Do you know that they can, they change their names loads, kings.
Yeah.
So Prince Charles.
They're like popes.
Yeah, but Prince Charles won't be Charles III. Because Charles I executed Charles II, a bit of a playboy.
So he doesn't want to be the third one? I'd go for it and just be the first. No, thank you.
No milk? Well,
I nearly put milk in my tea there. And no, with Earl Grey, I don't like milk. I'd be the one that changed the game.
You'd
be a good trivia question, wouldn't you? Who was the first good Charles King?
Good first Charles King.
Good first King Charles.
Do you write often for Trivial Pursuit?
Always good first Charlie boy. Thank you.
So, Richard III, what do you know of him, Laura?
I know quite a lot about him, actually.
Okay, why?
Because
you love the War of the Roses.
I love the Wars of the Roses. I love medieval history. So, I find the best way for me to learn history stuff is fiction books about the subject.
Okay, yeah.
So, I've read a couple of good series. I think the Con Iggulden ones about the Wars of the Roses are very good. I've read a Philippa Gregory one called The White Queen, which is all about Elizabeth Woodville. And I also really like the Kingmaker series. I can't remember who that's by. I think someone called Toby. Clements?
Who is the Kingmaker?
The Earl of Warwick.
The Earl of Warwick, very nice.
Yeah, and I'm a bit in love with the Earl of Warwick. I think he was very cool.
So, this is sort of me showing you around this one.
Yeah.
But my interest in it isn't to do with...
You like the car park bit.
I like the car park bit. So I probably mentioned before, depending on what order you're listening to, indeed how you've been released, I did a degree in archaeology. So I like the genome project to figure out where Richard was.
Aren't all genomes genomes, though?
Sorry?
Like, you'd never have a gnome that was just about N-O-M-E.
No, you're right, yeah, you're right. Like, you've,
he hated that. He really hated that. He can't make eye contact
with me. I'll
tell
you why I hated that. Because I thought you were going to give me some really interesting information.
I don't know what a genome is.
I didn't know about something I love.
What's a genome?
I don't know. it's like your DNA fingerprint, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like your DNA fingerprint.
Right.
So, if I'm wrong, let us know.
Oh, dang.
Let
him know. I'm not pretending to be clever.
Let us know on our joint Twitter account.
So when they've dug him up in the car park, because it was only a few years ago, wasn't it?
2012.
Yeah. Was that like a
big
day for you?
Which time of recording is 8 years ago. Well, it was just fascinating because it's like, I'm by no stretch of the imagination like a royalist, but I like history. And it's, you know, it's the last English king to die in battle. It's the end of the Plantagenets.
And that was at the Tudor. He died...
Before Tudor, so...
Yeah, but wasn't he in battle with the guy that went on to be Henry VII? Henry VII when he died. And I get all the numbers muddled up. I'm bad with the numbers. That's what annoys me when they think you've learned about this. It's like, I completely understand what happened, but I can't remember what the numbers of anybody
was. Yeah,
you
know, that's how I feel about Vinday. I know it's a Thursday. The night colours going out.
Would you have liked to have been there to find something like that? Do you still have a bit of a boner for bones?
No, I don't have a boner for bones. And I also have been on a dig that found something.
Oh, what did you find?
I was part of the archaeological dig in, I want to say, 2007, because it was, that proved that Neolithic man was not nomadic and lived in permanent structured houses. I was on the dig that found...
How do you prove that from digging?
It's, you know, like I said when we went on Beeston Castle, it's all the inference prove when we got, you can pigs were this day because of the cavities.
Yeah.
We found evidence of, so obviously the houses would have been wood, so they're not there, but you can see in the ground evidence of foundation and hearth pits and...
But how do you know they weren't like permanent structures that people moved around in, like timeshares?
Well, I don't. I don't know that. And
I just disproved your theory there.
Well, so you've disproved it, because you have just claimed that Neolithic man had timeshares.
Yeah.
3 weeks at Stonehenge, a couple of weeks in Orkney.
Okay, well, I'm excited about this. So we're gonna go around the exhibition, we're going to check our knowledge of history, we're going to go and look at the dig site, but the bones aren't there anymore?
I don't...
Is it just the hole
No, they've reburied him, haven't they? But you can see... Well, we'll find out.
Where have they put him?
Buried him, I think he's a king.
Where? In Westminster Abbey?
I don't know, but I'm sure somewhere royal.
He was a little murdering king, though. He was a sly king.
He has been really misdone by history.
No, but he did kill his nephews to get the crown.
There's no evidence of that.
What? There's a lack of nephews, though, aren't there? And who stood to gain?
It was the 1400s. People died all the time.
Yeah, and people knew where they'd gone, though.
Also,
they didn't just vanish and the king went, oh, look over there, I've got a crown.
If we're going to start having a go at medieval kings...
Yeah, I'm not saying everyone was great, but I feel like child murdering and then just pretending, oh, they must have wandered off, is quite a shitty way to get the crown. What have people online had to say about old Dickie 3?
Five stars. Richard III, at last, recognised as a king. As our grandson has been at uni in Leicester for the past 4 years, it has given me the opportunity to visit this informative visitor centre several times. As a champion of Richard III, which I thought was a weird choice of words, I was pleased to see all the information gathered and displayed by him and his short reign.
All right, so this guy is a big nerd for Richard III, and he's into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Of Richard the Nerd. Hey.
Mwah, delicious. 1 3-star by, I think, and I'm confident in saying this, the thickest person in the world.
Oh, Will.
3 stars. Who wants to see a hole in the ground? Hole spelled incorrectly.
Oh, how have they spelled hole? Like
W-H-O-L-E.
Maybe the whole being in the ground.
No. Who wants to see a hole in the ground? 4 exclamation marks. Really disappointed with the place. Overhyped. More about how his bones were dug up than the history of the man.
What? That's not true.
Glass floor over a hole in the ground. Wow. Really exciting. Open brackets, block capitals, not close brackets.
But what were they expecting?
I don't know. They're the thickest person in the world.
But they've still given it 3 stars.
Yeah.
I mean, how disappointed would they have to be in a place to give it 1 star?
Really enjoyed Centre Park till my mother was murdered. 2 stars. I've done that. I've not given their name. I kind of wish I could.
No, be nice.
What do you mean, be nice? They've said not in brackets. Unless it's Borat, that's wrong.
It might be somebody really young. Maybe that's like an 11-year-old. So there we go. So we are expecting that we disagree with most of the negative things in these. Okay, I'm excited about this one. Let's go and see what we see. You've got the Lancastrians. Yeah, so Lancastrians were with Henry VI. He's the guy that's a bit weak and feeble, and his wife is very cool.
According to you.
She's French.
Mary.
Yeah, Margaret of Anjou. There you go.
Yeah, Mary Margaret.
Not Margaret Beaufort. She must be somebody else. Anyway, Margaret of Anjou. She was wicked. And she was really good at getting troops moving to
just quickly
protect
Margaret of Anjou's wicked, is she?
Yeah.
And Richard III is terrible for letting two little boys die.
Yeah.
But guess this out, Margaret of Anjou was little in mercy. She allowed her 7-year-old son, Edward of Westminster, the Prince of Wales, to choose the method of execution.
So she's being nice to children. And
oh, yeah, that's a lot of love.
That's modern parenting, that is. How many modern parents now are you like, which would you like, Annabelle and Nicholas? Would you like the cake or would you like the brownie? And she's like, would you like...
decapitation or disembowelment, Nicholas?
Exactly. That's much nicer than murdering someone and burying them in a staircase. What would you rather do, choose someone's death or be murdered?
Depends on the day, I suppose.
Oh, shut up. You wouldn't choose to die. Here we go, now we're up to murdered
yeah,
pieces in the
Yeah, good
tower.
Luck, because I've just read it.
Right, so everybody was dead, everybody's had a very sad time. I've been right about all the history we've talked about.
Apart from the people involved.
Yeah.
Edward II and Mary of Beaufort, the hell are they?
I can't remember names, but I know who I mean. the York King, so Edward IV, he's died now.
So he is the king, the father of the princes in the tower.
Yes.
So when he dies, the youngest one, Edward V, 12 years old, not old enough to be king, he's a Lord Protector. Enter Richard III.
Yeah.
But not at the time, Richard, Duke of Gloucester.
Yeah.
Carry on.
And he is very angry because he hates their mum.
Doesn't say that on this screen. It just says, was named Protector of the Realm despite the influence of the Widow Queen's family, the Woodvilles. Now, granted, fearing intervention, but no hatred's been mentioned, he sent them to live, not be imprisoned in, the Tower of London.
Okay. What is the Tower of London? A big prison, thank you.
Hang on, there's just a couple of more paragraphs here. Should we read them?
Yeah, sure. So, having secured the two princes really aggressively and meanly...
Editor's note.
And real note.
Editor's bloody note.
The Bishop of Stillington... No, I can't read.
The Bishop of Bath and Wells, named Stillington.
Lovely area of the world. He starts slagging off the marriage that Edward IV had to Elizabeth Woodville and is all like, it's not legal, they're illegitimate.
The bias of your language is insane. You've read a sentence that the Bishop alleged that the marriage had been illegal and you've turned that into started slagging it off.
Because that's what it was. It was fine the whole time they were married and he was alive and he didn't want to rock the boat. But then as soon as they're dead and there's a way for some grubby old power, suddenly everything's illegal.
Right, so...
Ridiculous.
He says that Edward V can't be king because he's an illegitimate son. Parliament agreed.
Yeah, they're idiots too.
And enacted...
The titulus regis.
That's right, titulus. Which named Richard, Duke of Gloucester, King Richard III.
Come fucking venian.
Soon after, the two princes of the tower vanished without a trace. Mm. Wait to Laura's argument. However, during building works underneath one of the tower's staircases in 1674, the skeletons of two children were found, leading many historians to conclude the boys had been killed. Well, Laura, you seem to have won. But what is at the bottom? The remains have never been authenticated, and the prince's true fate remains a mystery.
What do you think happened to them, though? If there wasn't their bodies under the
I
steps,
don't know.
Do you think that they just went to live at Disneyland?
But we are in a...
Do you think they had a great time?
We are in a museum.
Hello, you illegitimate bastards.
Listen,
come and live in this wonderful farm.
Shut up. Yeah, the princes were sent to live on a farm, like your dog.
The battles were amazing in this war. So the St Albans was the first battle.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. And then there's some really cool ones, like some mad stuff happened in these battles. Which one was the one with the suns happening then? That was a good one.
Laura's, so we're now sort of, I'll explain the layout of the rooms. In the middle is like, it's a house of cards with like all the main players. It's a visual metaphor for how flimsy power is. And then on one side is like a timeline of the key players. On the other wall is a timeline featuring when battles were, who got married, who was born, who died. And the wall we're currently looking at is a description of all the battles. And there's little glyphs of who won. White for York, red for Lancaster. And then actual examples of the weapons. We've got a two-handed longsword, which I think is about 4 foot tall. And it's definitely, that's two-handed, that. No way. Oh, it's called a two-handed longsword. Read it, Will. A halberd. I know a guy called Chris Halberd. If you're listening, Chris, I've seen a halberd.
Oh, hi, Laura. Have you found your information?
Hi. Oh, yeah, here we go. So the Battle of Mortimer's Cross, which was one of the earlier ones, that's the sixth battle, it looks like. At the dawn of this first battle, the meteorological phenomenon known as parhelion, or sun dog, appeared, which gives the effect of three suns rising instead of one. This was taken by Edward and his men as a sign of blessing from the Holy Trinity.
Wonderful.
But you'd have lost your mind, wouldn't
you? Yeah, you'd have gone mad.
I'd go mad now. Like, do you remember a couple of years ago? So at the time, I was quite deeply psychologically unwell.
I'm
very
now.
Scared about the apocalypse. Yeah, getting there. And do you remember there was that terrible thing where the sand got whipped up and the whole
sky went orange?
Yellow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was like in the middle of therapy on an antidepressant trying to deal with this fear of the apocalypse that I had that was like really ruining my life. And I'm driving down the A23 home and the whole sky just went yellow. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die here in my car. Imagine how much you'd have flipped out back then.
I think that so much. Like, my standard of living is better than every single person named in this room, and six of the pricks are kings.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's like, if I could show, pick one, Edward the Fourth, if I could show him my alarm clock, he'd have a stroke.
Yeah.
Where are these spirits that live within?
Edward the Fourth was really tall.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was like 6'3", which was really tall for the time. Okay, so now we're in a cool room. This is the throne room. And I think it's going to have like an interactive video, which is going to annoy Will. So we probably
not
can't stay
Will,
here.
Not annoy Will, it's just the sound will interrupt. I'm having a lovely time here.
Will doesn't like to be told things by videos.
I also, genuinely, and I am worried because we're going to be biased because we've been given a free ticket. That room we've just come out of, you hear it now, some bloody woman, she's not even from the Tudor times. It's one of the most interesting rooms I've ever been in my life.
I liked it too. Yeah. It was good, wasn't it? Oh, here we go. Here's a touchscreen about the princes in the tower.
Okay, so touchscreen, it says, were they murdered? Touchscreen to start, which Laura has done.
Yes, okay. What happened? You decide. I've decided they were murdered. The disappearance of the princes in the tower is one of the great mysteries of English history. No, it isn't. They're dead.
The princes were last seen in public. I'm going to take over because Laura is, like, she's leading the jury.
I'm frothing at the mouth.
The princes were last seen in public during the summer of 1483. Rumours soon spread they'd been killed. Many theories have been suggested. But, importantly, Laura, no one knows the truth. Three rooms of the tower to collect the evidence, then decide. Let's go.
Okay. Atmospheric, this noise.
It is. I think a ship's just left harbour.
Did they die of natural causes? Life was precarious in the Middle Ages, and it was not at all unusual for children to die young and fall into a staircase of wet cement together and never be spoken of again.
It definitely wasn't wet cement. It's the 1400s, Laura. I'm not saying they weren't murdered, but let's not throw in wet cement. Was there a cover-up of an unexplained death? Shall we press the thing that says... So it says the death of one or both princes would have been an embarrassment to Richard because he'd become the Lord Protector, sort of like a weird choice.
Oh, okay. So well, why would you rather have rumours that you'd murdered them than you'd let them die carefully?
I don't think he went, oh, the princes have gone. Maybe I killed them. See you later.
I think we'll keep exploring. I don't think we want to...
Prejudicial evidence.
Why can't I work this touchscreen? Okay.
So I think next room.
Next room. Okay, so we're leaving the bedchamber. Have I got like really clammy hands? Why can't
You've got clammy hands. So we've
got a
picture.
Oh, there's a man hanging out a window. I'm going to get him. Were they secretly hidden away? Could the princes have survived Richard's evil reign?
It doesn't say evil.
Some writers have suggested that the disgusting Richard
doesn't say disgusting.
Smuggled the beautiful innocent
doesn't say beautiful innocent
out of the wicked tower.
Doesn't say wicked
during his gross little
doesn't
reign
say gross little
to protect their perfect lives.
Doesn't say perfect
while also removing them as a force of opposition.
Doesn't say force, says focus.
Okay, I actually couldn't read that one.
Right, swipe.
Do you think they were hidden away?
Maybe. I haven't come in here being like, fuck him, he killed him.
I have, I hate him. It's nice, this museum, isn't it?
Yeah, actually.
It doesn't feel too stuffy and, like, pretentious. Ooh, hang on, we've got some coats of arms over here.
So, it's a lovely font. Bosworth is one of the most important battles in English history. Marks the end of the Middle Ages. That's interesting. Do you hear that? The what? Battle of Bosworth Field is said to mark the end of the Middle Ages.
Oh.
Didn't know that. That's good.
That's fun.
All right.
That noise you can hear, by the way, is an entire wall video happening behind us that's mimicking an army getting ready to fight.
Absolutely terrifying. Do you know, I had a dream once that I was in, like, a medieval war. I discussed it earlier.
You'd make a great pikeman.
I wouldn't. In the dream, I wet myself.
Yeah, they all did.
I didn't wake up soiled.
Did you, though?
I think so. I think I was 15.
Oh, we're at the Shaky Pea Corner.
Now, this is something that has done massive issues for the PR of Richard III.
Which you are on a one-man mission to cure.
Not a one-man mission, actually. I'm becoming part of a silent majority. Not in... I vote Remain. But the portrayal of the lovely Duke of Gloucester, the handsome Richard III, in the play Richard III...
If you think a painting makes them look the best they could possibly be, and he's gopping in his paintings, imagine how ugly he was in real life.
The portrayal of Richard III in this play does him in. Shakespeare puts into Richard's mouth an appeal for means of escape, but descriptions from the time of his death agree he fell fighting. God forbid I yield one step, were his reported last words. Even Henry's core historian. So bear in mind, this is history written by the winners. They've just killed the man in a battle. The core historian wrote, King Richard alone was killed fighting manfully in the thickest press of his enemies. Now, I'm not saying he's a great guy. He's probably, like most of the Middle Ages, a bit of a prick.
Do you think he murdered two little
I don't think he murdered him, no. But what did he say? My horse, my kingdom for a horse?
But he didn't, probably.
Definitely.
Unless he wanted to fight a horse. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was having such a good fight and he had his bloodlust up and he was like, I'll fight a fucking horse.
He's looking around like, he's got a pike,
I'll
he's got
fight
a sword,
a horse.
That horse is unarmed. Yeah. I'll bang it out. Hey, old lad, bring
just
me horse.
Nutting a horse. Right, so he's dead now. He's died and we've come round the corner and Henry the Seventh is in charge of Richard's corpse. So he's taking it to Leicester.
Well, we are.
Where? That's us. His close supporter, William Catesby, was executed while Richard's naked body... OK, that's not respectful.
Weirdly, they have capitalised naked body on this frieze.
Sexy. ...was displayed at a church in Leicester for all men to wonder upon.
Wow. Well, I mean, how big was it?
Oh, OK, so they did this to make sure that everybody knew he was dead, so nobody could argue and no conspiracy theories could jump up. Even in modern times, the dead bodies of slain leaders have been displayed for public gaze to prove they were dead.
Stop. They have chosen two incredible people to choose there. So bear in mind, we're in... I mean, it's one of the most historic places I've been in my life. It's all quite respectful and royal and Middle Ages. The two slain leaders they've chosen to describe are...
Che Guevara and Colonel Gaddafi.
There you go, couple of great guys.
I suppose because, like, when Diana died, very sad, it's never been the same since, no one was like, maybe she's still alive, there's a claim to the throne. Whereas... you had to know that these guys were dead to end the conversation.
But, like, maybe give them a loincloth.
Yeah, sure.
That's interesting. They made an Act of Parliament when they wrote the rain down as ending the day before Bosworth Field, making him, at the time, fighting the legitimate king and therefore a treason. History's great, isn't it?
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, so that has taken us from the Cousins' War up until the end of Bosworth Field. We're now in a little anteroom.
Yeah, this bit doesn't feel right. This is very much just a connecting corridor, isn't
it? Yeah, we're going upstairs.
Upstairs to the King's Galleries.
What's here?
The King's Suite.
So it's a modern room with some bunting. And it's, I think it's something for children. It's a pillory and stocks.
Oh. Oh, okay, so hang on. When we arrived here, they gave us two bits of paper that said what our crimes were. Well, I'm going to give you this crime.
Okay.
Tell people what your crime is.
Laura has claimed that I am a thief.
You are.
Okay, what have I stolen?
You've stolen a pig and the youth of a maiden.
Can it just be two pigs?
No, it is a pig, and you've wasted the youth of a maiden, and I am guilty of treason because I've accused the king of killing two little boys.
Is it yours?
And burying them in wet cement.
Weirdly, it's petty treason, so it's not...
Everything you do is petty.
No, you're petty.
Oh, I'm petty. Oh, yeah, I'm very petty.
So you're going to... So you're, according to the law of the time, this youth of a maiden thing, can we have a quick chat about it?
Yeah, so you dated a woman for years with no intention of proposing, and now she's too old to get another husband, and you've stolen her young years.
Right, and what's my...
You are a thief of time. You are going to have to nail the car.
No, ear. Nailing the ear.
Oh.
I'm going to get a nail through my ear.
Oh, cool, like a piercing.
Which I'm not allowed, because my mum wouldn't let me get a piercing.
Right, you're going to get a nail in the ear. In the top or in the lobe?
Don't know. I'll ask the guide, see your reference.
Hi!
Hello.
Oh, we found a guide.
There's a guy.
Very good costume.
And what can I do for you?
I accused the king of murdering two little boys and burying them under a staircase.
Oh, that old one. Yeah. Well,
actually...
He was already dead at the time, and chances are... Well, to be honest, it didn't make any difference if he killed him or not. I'm not that fussed whether he did or didn't. If he didn't, he would be nicer than most. If he did, he's a medieval king. That's just what he did.
Right. That's why I said...
Was that why I'm just up for petty treason rather than...
Well, petty treason, you see, that's... you can be accused, obviously, of petty treason. We can't. Petty treason is a crime that a wife commits against her husband, so it's only girls that can get petty treason.
Oh!
So, petty treason is where you either beat your husband or something like that.
But only very gently.
Well, it's still a crime. Remember...
It's treason to go against your husband.
Yeah, because when you marry him, you love, honour and obey.
Obey.
Exactly. So you have to be very, very careful.
I'm going to call your husband and let him know.
This is really upsetting.
So sometimes what would happen, of course, that it only works one way. Because men can't be accused of petty treason because they're illegally allowed to beat their wife.
Oh.
Right up until the Victorian period.
Oh.
So long as the stick that you beat your wife with was thinner than your thumb.
That's not friendly.
A rule of thumb.
So what's my punishment for being a petty treasonous bitch?
Well, if you beat your husband, then normally the punishment would be beating you as well, with maybe flogging, for example. So pretty awful. I mean, flogging...
Hey, some people are like that.
Well, not me.
I know, yeah, some people play extra for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so,
fair play to
is that a cat of nine tails?
It is indeed. So, knotted string, knotted leather, knotted rope. Used, obviously, as punishment in the army and the navy as well. The most I think anyone survived is 500 lashes. It'd take most
500?
Of the skin off.
500?
Yeah.
You'd go through to the bone, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, well, what about him? He's a thief.
He's a thief.
He stole a pig.
Right, okay, well, what's the value of the pig, though? So, if you're accusing him of stealing a pig, is the value of the pig more or less than 144 pennies?
Oh, it was a trained pig.
You don't even know how much that is. You even asked for any inflation or nothing.
How much? Yeah, okay, how much is 144 pennies in today's money?
In today's money, so it's 12 shillings, so it's 60p.
Oh, it's way more than that.
Oh, it's way
adjusted
more
for
way
inflation for 400
that's,
years.
That's back then.
Okay.
So 12 shillings is a lot of money. So if we look at that, most people in the late 15th century, an ordinary person in the street is earning about a penny a day. So 144 pennies is a third of a year's wages.
This was a really expensive pig.
Really expensive pig.
Imported.
In that case, we would just execute him.
Great.
if it's under that, then there are different things we can do. Maybe, depending on what you stole, we engage in a bit of mutilation. So chopping off the arm or removing the top lip scalping.
I need these things.
Okay, well, fair enough.
No, thank you.
Okay, right then.
You can't just say no. You shouldn't have stolen the pig.
Would normally decide, but I'm gonna give you the choice. What level of pain do you want? Small, medium, or large?
Large.
Which part of I'll choose?
I think the worst bit.
Hang on, some big scissors are coming towards us.
Snips, shears. Okay. These would go up the inside of your nose.
Oh.
And then we snip. And that's the way it would go.
What, through the cartilage in the middle?
Yeah. It's going to sting a bit, isn't it? The low level
was that high, sorry?
Yeah, that's the high.
That was the high. Oh, great.
So the lower level of pain is, so I've got a brand with a letter T on it. We burn that onto the side of your face.
Happy side of the face?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, everyone needs to see it. So branding's quite popular. You get M for manslaughter, S for slave, F for fraymaker.
What, S for slave? Being a slave?
Yeah, being a slave, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you can't run away.
F-A... for false accuser. So if you're a false accuser and a thief, you get the word fat on the side of your face.
You'll get an FA.
For the rest
of your
life.
I'll get sweet FA.
So that's pretty vicious, but that's the lower end of the market, that is, I think.
I imagine, though, I've had burns. That would hurt for a week.
It would, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then you'd be scarred forever.
The worst one, though, if you come over here to the pillory, what they would do is they would get your ear.
Yeah.
And then they would nail your ear to the edge of the piece of wood, and then to remove you, they grab hold of your body and just pull you, and it just rips your ear open. If that happens, you are earmarked, which is where we get that phrase from.
Nice.
Basically, you carry your criminal record on your face so everyone knows who and what you are.
Right.
Thank you so much.
What was your name? Sorry, thank you.
Jed.
Thank you so much.
Jed the Just
at the Richard III. Terribly keen to shove shears at your nose, but, you know, a laugh none the same. Thank you so much, mate.
That's right.
Here we go. The Dig Diary.
Right, now
finding
we're into
the body.
Bit. Okay, we've come to another interactive touchscreen.
So, how the dig came about. Philippa Langley, absolutely instrumental. She began the Looking for Richard project. Without her, never would have found him.
John Ashdown Hill. John inspired Philippa. He identified a surviving descendant. It was the haircut that did it. He was walking around and he saw someone with the right look and he was like, I bet that guy is the grandson of Richard.
Can't deny it.
And then he took some DNA so that if they ever found a body, so you better hope that that was a descendant, because if it wasn't, then it's just another guy that...
True.
Anyway. Then you got Richard Buckley.
Co-director of the University of Leicester Archaeological Services, led the archaeology team.
And then you've got Sarah Levitt. Sarah manages Leicester's Arts and Museum Service. She was the main council officer who worked on the project. Well done, Saz.
Look at this. Here we go, the dig. So they're in the car park. So they found evidence that he was buried in Greyfriars Friary. So they had to find evidence of where the friary would be. They'd find the friary. Then once they found the position of the buildings, they had to locate the church within the friary. This would have been done by, like, old maps and research and radars into the ground, like a geophysical survey where you shoot...
Oh, yeah, from Time Team.
Yeah, you shoot surveys in, you get, like, what's under there. So to find the friary, find the church, then within the church, locate the choir, then within the choir, locate... So it's just like...
Okay, so they found where this friary was likely to be, then they did a load of fundraising.
Yeah.
And then, what, they get permission to dig it up?
Yeah, and they had to do surveys and make sure nothing there.
I suppose there were loads of bones there, were there?
Probably. So, trench one goes in. The digging begins on the 25th of August. Suddenly, the guy stops because he's found a human leg bone. Okay? So they stop the digging because electrical cables are in the way. Trench two begins. They find medieval walls in a corridor. Now, they can know it's medieval walls because they can age the stone. Also, building styles are quite similar.
They get down, they find a corridor with two walls and a gap. They keep going down. Boom, they go down and down and down. So, then they find, they get an exhumation license. That's mad, that, isn't it? Because, like, obviously it's a person. Like, there was a time when he was, even if he was a little hunchback who killed his nephews, like a human being.
Right, so here we go. This is quite exciting. This is a quote from one of the people doing it. She says, she come back to the trench, and by lunchtime, like, they've been digging up this body, and it's not looking like it's going to be Richard. It's too tall to be him. The arms and legs have no wounds, and they're like, oh, crap, it's a man, quite tall, but most likely to be a friar, and it's not. And then when they get back, they've done a little bit more excavating, and she's like, oh, my God, it's got a curved spine and battle wounds. This is quite likely to be him. And then they, like, cover the remains in a little banner and take it out to the van.
And they find out that he is hunchbacked, which they're surprised by. So then they go to scientific analysis, because obviously he's just bone.
So this, like, curving of the spine, because obviously he's known as a hunchback in the play.
Yeah.
Is that, like, was it probably actually just something quite minor that nowadays you'd fix quite quickly?
Like a scoliosis, probably, yeah.
It? Yeah.
The reports of the time say he was fighting. He probably wasn't even hunchback.
No.
But I suppose, like, you know when you don't like somebody, you caricature their defects. He may have had a little whatever.
Yeah.
Which Tudors and then Shakespeare would have gone on with.
And then the Tudors kind of made him out to be a beastie after that.
Right, so we're now going through to the grave site of Richard III.
So is this where he's actually dug up?
Yeah.
This must be where he's actually dug up.
That's it there, isn't it?
This is cool. So we're now in this, like, little fancy garage, and it's got glass floor, like at the Spinnaker Tower in Portsmouth, where you can look through to
a reference we'll all get.
and you can see where they dug him up. So these must be the medieval walls that they were telling us about.
The tiles and the two short grave.
The tomb's actually this part just here. So where there's the yellow peg marker at the top shows the top of the grave. So you're looking at it like that. So it was as he was found.
So where we're stood now, we're sort of looking at him. His feet would be right below us and his head's extending out in front of us, yeah?
The grave is only 5'3".
Yeah.
And Richard was 5'8". So he was squashed into it.
Sorry. To him.
And then where the tiles are that you've just pointed out over in that corner, that's the level that the church floor was at the time.
So it's not
so
that far
below. So he was only
2 feet
below the floor of the church.
Shallow grave.
That is disrespectful, isn't it? So who was likely to have put him there? Henry VII?
Henry VII's officers.
Right.
Would have brought him here and handed the body to the monks to bury him in that part. This particular part of the church was only accessible to the monks and the priests. So if anybody had wanted to come and pray at his grave or light a candle at his grave or make a pilgrimage or a shrine, they weren't allowed in here to be able to do that. It was a very quick, unceremonious burial, shallow grave. Bury him and forget him.
Would he have had a headstone, a marking, just an unmarked grave?
Unmarked grave, no coffin. No shroud. His body was literally, as they'd stripped him on the battlefield, and then straight into the...
Hands tied together, it said, maybe upstairs, yeah.
And that was to stop people, like, rallying behind him in an anti-Tudor kind of... OK. Did he have a wife or kids or anything?
He had a wife and a son, both of whom had died previously prior to him. His son died at the age of around 11, and his wife had died earlier in 1485, so... early in that year that he was killed.
Crikey.
See? A widower. A dead kid.
No wife, no children, no sort of heirs in that sense. His heir would have been his nephew. His sister's son would have been the next heir.
But they just stamped that out and were like, no, it's going to the Tudors.
Speaking of children...
Don't start this again.
Princes in the Tower.
Right.
I reckon he didn't do it.
I think he did it.
We spoke to Jed upstairs, who was like, probably not, and if he did...
Hey, he did not say probably
he
not.
Did.
He didn't. He just said if he had done it, it wouldn't have been that...
He's a medieval king that they did that kind of thing. What do you reckon? Did he do it?
From a personal viewpoint, I don't think he did.
Thank you.
I think he'd already made... They'd already been declared illegitimate.
By Parliament.
But he did
Titulus
that
Regius.
Too. He did that too, yes. So that he could be king.
But there were a lot of other people who had, who benefited from the prince's disappearance.
Oh, okay.
Henry Tudor, not the least, because he didn't want those two princes to suddenly re-emerge and go, hello, I'm actually the heir to the throne, and start the whole cycle off again.
Yeah.
He had married their older sister. In order to marry her, he had had to make the all her family legitimate again, which then made the two princes legitimate. So had they still been around, they would have been legitimate to the throne.
Better claim than old Henry. Perhaps.
But he won it in battle rather than inheritance, it said, so yes. He wouldn't have had to worry too much
about
that.
He won by conquest, but he was also claiming it by bloodline through his mother.
By marrying the wife, they couldn't have illegitimate family.
Double claim.
And what do you think about, maybe Henry VII?
I think it's a possibility it was Henry VII or somebody on his orders, or perhaps even somebody who thought they were doing the right thing that he would want. Margaret Beaufort, his mother, certainly had a motive for him, but she also had means and opportunity because she was in and out of the Tower on a regular basis at that time, and she had a lot of power.
What about Buckingham?
Buckingham certainly had, because he was constable of the Tower at the time.
Well.
He might have thought he was doing what Richard wanted, but equally so, he might have thought, well, I'll throw my lot in with Henry.
Buckingham. Means, motive, opportunity. Yes. Henry VII, means, motive, opportunity. Richard III, why don't you think he did it?
Why don't I think he did it?
Because loving this, I've gone biased.
Such a little worm.
Certainly he had the means and the opportunity, because he was the king, he could order people to do it. I don't think his motive was as strong as some of the other potential candidates.
Thank you, Jan. And you think they were murdered?
I think they were probably murdered and disposed of
by somebody.
But from his point of from Richard's point of view, he would not see them as a threat because he had parliamentary backup that they were illegitimate and therefore could not be.
That's an excellent point. I didn't think he did it just for a gut feeling, but you've actually really solidified my own opinion.
Oh, the smug look on Will's face.
Are you wavering? You're wavering.
I like you, Jan, but I'm angry about this. I'm angry.
Thanks, Jan.
Right. Thanks.
There is actually an interesting point with the princes, because the in Charles II's time, mm-hmm. there was some remains that were found at the Tower under a staircase.
The two young lads.
Put in an urn that's buried in Westminster Abbey, and it has a tomb thing, and he's buried in Westminster Abbey. If they were able to test the contents of the urn with modern DNA,
they could
tell certainly what age they were, what sex they were, but equally now they could make a direct DNA connection to Richard. But in order to test that and open that grave in the urn, they have to have permission from the Dean and Chapter of Westminster Abbey and from the reigning monarch.
And they're just in
on the neither of them will give permission for their exhumation because they don't think there is sufficient cause.
Ooh,
what are they covering?
Theory. It's a lovely little courtyard between the museum and the cathedral, isn't it? There's a nice bit of cobble. Oh, there's the bells. Hear that? 2 o'clock bells.
2 o'clock bells.
Lovely. It's a lovely sunny day, isn't it?
It is.
It's not like the most imposing cathedral from the outside, but it's quite friendly.
Yes, I wonder how old it is, because it's got that look of one that's obviously imposing and big for a concept, but if it's like 500 years old, like, oh yeah, of course it's not going to be.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, so we're going in through the doors. I do like the light that stained glass gives.
Yeah, doppeled, I'd call it.
Would you have stained glass in your house?
Right. This is like...
Do you think it's pretentious on a normal house?
This is like the question. If you found an envelope full of £10,000, what would you do? You know the answer is give it in. But when you're faced with it, you'd keep it. let's be honest.
So
no, I wouldn't have stained glass. But if I kind of made a stained glass window, you better believe that every window in my house is stained. And rather than like saints and Jesus, it'd be me and me.
You would not have yourself.
I mean, I'd have one.
You would have yourself in a stained glass window in your house?
Yeah.
Well.
Mate, I'm no money, but was I money, I'd be new money.
So where are we going? We're going to a tomb. We're
going to the tomb, the current tomb, so imagine.
Oh, so they only just moved him over the road then?
Yeah, to a cathedral though.
Oh yeah, sure, okay.
So here we are, the tomb of Richard III. So, very near to the deposited remains of Joseph Craddock. No idea who he is. I love that. Joseph Craddock, 17th of November 1689 to 20th of April 1759. Right, so he lived to 70 years old, or 69. Was important enough to get a marble statue in a cathedral. No idea who he is. Fascinating.
What does that quote mean? Enough that virtue filled the space between...
Provided
by the ends of being to have been Pope.
Enough. So, the space between provided would have been him. And he had enough virtue in himself that had he had ability, he could have been Pope.
But he wasn't Pope, so he didn't have the ability to be Pope.
No, but it's like, yeah, he had all the credentials.
Except isn't this a Church of England place? So he wasn't Catholic. Isn't that like a main thing of being Pope?
Yeah, but I don't know.
That's like me going, yeah, you know, I could be Pope.
I imagine he would have been Catholic. Maybe it's a Catholic cathedral.
I thought Catholic cathedrals were more incensey and more fancy than this.
More fancy than this?
Yeah.
It's a cathedral.
Yeah, but it's not a good one.
Stained glass.
Yeah, Church but all churches have stained glass.
No, Church
glass.
Of England is like...
No, they have stained glass. I grew up C of E. Stained glass.
How old is a cathedral?
Yeah, like Wells, that's a C of E cathedral.
How old is it?
Old.
But if it's Reformation, if it's pre-Reformation, it would have been a Catholic cathedral.
Oh, yeah, and then they just use it now.
Newer.
But is that pre-Reformation, 1759? No, yeah. That's post-Reformation.
There's a guy who works there, let's ask him. A thing there for a guy who was buried here, and their quote says that he had enough virtue in the space to have been Pope. Is this a Church of England cathedral or a Catholic cathedral?
Church of England.
So why is the Pope being mentioned?
What are we looking at?
So I'll show you here. Because I said in my... Was it built in a cathedral? Or is it a pre-Reformation cathedral that's been re...
It wasn't a cathedral until 1927.
Oh, right.
There's been a church here since medieval times, so until the Reformation it was Catholic.
So, yes, the deposited remains of Joseph Craddock.
That refers to Alexander Pope, the poet, not the Pope.
Oh, there we go, different guy.
Right, yes. Well, that solves the whole argument we have. Thank you so much. Well. Right.
Great.
Enough
poet.
That virtue filled the space between. Provided by the ends of being to have been.
Pope.
By Pope, not Pope. To have been Pope.
Oh. Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's a quote from the poet Alexander Pope.
Well, that solves that
Dave,
small issue we were having there.
No,
we're leaving that in. So this is where Richard currently is.
All 5 foot 8 of him in a big enough coffin.
It's nice. I like the light marble. So the slab that they're giving him, it's a lovely piece of marble with a cross cut through it, which is a nice, like...
It's limestone.
Oh, it's limestone. We don't know anything. It's a lovely... It's lovely and not overstated.
I like that you're surprised that it's nice. He was a king.
No, but so I don't... Like, some things can be a bit gaudy, can't they? Whereas that's not.
It's very nice. So he's not in there in order.
Yeah. It's all laid out anatomically in this coffin.
Well,
apart from his feet, which were missing.
His feet were missing? Hey.
Well,
they weren't missing. The Victorians or somebody built a wall in the area and his feet...
Eviscerated.
Went with the wall, yeah.
Sorry, Your Highness.
Well, that's going to be awkward when...
When what?
The Day of Judgment comes.
Oh, probably equip him with a new saddle.
Yeah. Yes.
Or at the very least a wheelchair.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That is a lovely position. I'm kind of glad for him, because after talking to Jan, I now feel better about that maybe he wasn't such a murderer. I mean, obviously he was a bit of a murderer.
He was an evil king.
He was, yes, okay. He was less of a murderer. But I feel sad that he was so squashed up, particularly for somebody with spinal pain. Being squashed up in a small grave must have been pretty horrible. And now I feel happy for him that he's stretched out in a lovely area.
So it's a...
It's like when I finally got a car that had cruise control and my knee stopped hurting all the time. That's how I think he must feel.
So... yeah. Yeah.
So that was the Richard III Museum. Honestly, listening back to that, Will, you sounded like you were having the best time.
Laura, I was having the best time. When I die, bury me in that car park, please.
Yeah, it was great. And whilst going in pretty angry at Richard III, I kind of came out liking him a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, Jan, particularly, who we spoke to at the burial site, I think she was great because she provided the episode with a little bit of much-needed balance. Thanks, Jan.
Yes, and thank you to Jed the Just for terrifying Will.
And also, just the lovely people at the Richard III Museum for giving us some free tickets.
Sweet, sweet free tickets. Now, before we leave you, it's time for the section we call Yes, That's Obviously What We Meant.
Yeah, basically an audio apology to keep the Twitter know-it-alls at bay.
So it's just the one that we're aware of this week, although we're sure you'll let us know if there are more.
Yeah, we weren't sure what the condition was that caused the curvature to King Richard III's spine. Well, it was adolescent idiopathic scoliosis.
Yes, we did say scoliosis, but not being chiropractors, we didn't quite nail it.
We didn't, but, you know, it's not too embarrassing. Maybe we are experts.
Yes, well, the most embarrassing part in that episode was the Pope Alexander Pope slit, but wasn't it?
No, right?
No, you're just not engaging with that. Okay, well, never mind. Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did like it, please rate it and review it. I'm just going to keep talking so he can't interrupt me. Thank you for the reviews you have left, by the way, particularly a couple of nice ones. I'll just read a couple here. Dark Soulful, thank you for your review on iTunes, says, I really enjoyed spending an hour wandering around Blenheim with Laura and Will, and I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the series. I love that you giggled and laughed out loud more than once, so thank you for reviewing. And thank you, The Princess Goob, funny and lighthearted, just what you need when you're stuck at home. Thanks for your reviews. We'll get to more of them next week.
Yeah, thank you in particular to John D36. Having spent many weeks indoors, it was a treat to get out for an hour. Lovely review, particularly as John D36 is my father. Had it been a bad review... Well, if it had been bad, he'd have got a one-way ticket to Switzerland for Christmas. You've also been really good on Twitter as well. You can, of course, follow us.
Don't tell them they've been really good. They're not school children. You've been really good on Twitter this week. You can have a Kit Kat.
You've been really good at engaging with our posts on Twitter.
No, it's not. You're talking like a social media manager, you dickhead. Just say thanks.
I used to be a social media manager.
Yeah, you can tell. You've been really good at engaging with us on Twitter. Fuck off, Will. Just say to them, you've been
thanks
really
for talking. Thanks for talking to us on Twitter. You
yeah, thanks
the
for being Will's friend. He doesn't have real ones.
If you
thanks
want,
for listening.
If you want to engage with us on social media, you can at TreacherousPod on Instagram and Twitter, or send us an email on thetreacherouspodcast@gmail.com. Abuya.
Bye.
Bye.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.